Welcome to Idle Red Hands Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And what is Idle Red Hands Weekly? It's the space between corporate compensated, disingenuous payola opinions and the manufactured anger and outrage of the clickbait trollscape. Back again this week. So what's been up with you, Chris?
As usual, and people are probably getting sick of hearing it, but I'm trying to do a better job of self-promotion.
Ah.
Fantastic Fate Resources Patreon.
Good.
So that's going pretty well. Pulled the trigger on updating this blog site to one of those professional deals. So ad-free, bigger space, new custom domain name.
Nice.
And by the time this goes up, Patreon supporters will most likely have the first Patreon-supported resource pack.
Oh, nice.
Which is Lizard Folk.
Ooh, cool. Yeah,
that's pretty cool. So it's also the first one that has Fate Core and Fate Accelerated stats. That will become public at the end of June.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Like, I don't want to put myself behind a paywall, but there's got to be some benefit to being a supporter, and I just decided that was early access.
Mm, yeah, that's good.
Yourself?
Yeah. Basically getting ready for it. We're doing a live stream tonight for Grimmer Space, the free adventure. So Grimmer Space is an adventure setting for Starfinder.
Right.
And since we played a lot of Starfinder, and Jackson really loves the system, he's going to run this. It's probably going to be a two-session, four-player sci-fi horror. So it's a sci-fi horror setting. The other thing that came out of this that we're looking forward to is next week we're going to interview the creators.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So that would be Roan Barton and Lou Agresta, and also creative director Sean Astin. Yes, Samwise Gamgee fame. Yes. So that's cool. So he got involved, and it's basically Grimmer Space is a sci-fi horror, but it's a collaboration. So they went after many sci-fi writers and artists that they really liked. So the book itself, they're going to do a 250-page plus hardback of the setting and adventures, and also have it kind of scalable. Like, what kind of horror do you like? So it can be more intense and more graphic for certain players, and it can be less intense, maybe more atmospheric and psychological for others. But the basic setting is evil wizards. So it's basically going to be sci-fi heroes versus sci-fi wizards that have kind of come into the galaxy and kind of unleashed all of their arcanum on our heroes. So
interesting. Cool.
Yeah, also try that out. When we were talking about sci-fi horror, that brought up an interesting topic that we're going to be confronting tonight, is when you go into a game session saying we're going to play sci-fi horror, does that ruin some of the, or do your expectations then change your role playing, and does that hurt the atmosphere of the actual adventure itself?
Right. Huh. Yeah, we were talking about this before and thinking about it just now. Prior to running a horror game, and I guess prior to kind of getting more involved in the indie scene, I may have said yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's I can understand the desire to want to spring that on players to kind of go, ha-ha, we're suddenly playing horror, to try and evoke that visceral reaction.
Yes.
I don't know if that works.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you'd want to do it, because not everyone may have signed up for a horror game.
That's
so
true, yeah.
So while it may, quote, ruin the effect, I would definitely say, hey, we're going to play a horror game.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to make sure you're using safety tools and stuff that people are going to outright know they don't want in the game. You just don't want that in there. While you're playing a horror game, you still want people to have fun.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it should be exciting and stimulating and not just terrifying.
This sucks. Yeah.
And just like, and hopelessness. I think that's a difficult part of horror, is often satisfying horror movies are soul survivor movies, or all is lost and you detonate the ship or whatever to kill the evil. And is that a really satisfying ending to a campaign? I don't know.
I don't know. I think it can. But what you said about hopelessness, we were talking about this, and after playing in that Bluebeard's Bride one shot back in January, that was a rough game, because the whole thing is the situation is pretty hopeless. And as a player, I felt at a lot of time pretty powerless to affect the narrative, which is part of that horror.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those games where it could be real uncomfortable without knowing about it. And even when you do, it's still really uncomfortable. But that's kind of the core of one type of horror, as opposed to the enemy being horrific.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. And this is going to be heroes. It's going to be sci-fi heroes and competent player characters, versus this situation. So we'll see how this plays out. I'm really curious with the kind of variety of players that we have. We will see. And so this is probably not going to go up before that happens, but take a look at the archive in both YouTube and Twitch to see how it went.
Hopefully well.
Yes. Also this week, I pre-ordered the Free League Alien RPG. So it looks like it's the Year Zero engine, so similar to Forbidden Lands. And some of the supporting materials, the cards and the maps and things, do suggest survival exploration.
Okay.
Similar to Forbidden Lands. And I hope it's a very atmospheric, very interesting game, because I think that setting, there's a lot there, but there's already been kind of a lot of knockoff and attempts to recreate that setting. And so you don't just want, you know, colonial marines
shooting it out.
Yeah. So hopefully there'll be some tension and who's infected or what that means. And if you can play an android, that would be even better. Yeah. To have the kind of tension between the corporate motives, the personal motives, and greed, you know, because that was a lot of, you know, we want to get paid. We want to get paid time and a half. We want to be paid double. That kind of dynamic would be fun.
We also don't want to die.
Yeah. <That's laughs> Dying too. Yeah. Live to spend the money.
I like the alien setting. Prometheus kind of sucked. don't do well with body horror, so didn't watch Covenant. But yeah, I've been paying attention to the release and wondered what you could do in this game. Mm-hmm. Like, and I guess getting back to the initial point of, does knowing it's a horror game kind of ruin it? You're in the alien setting. Players are going to know you're going to encounter alien and xenomorph stuff. So is that going to lessen the game? And also, what can you do in that setting? Mm-hmm. But I saw someone point out that, or after reviewing the stuff, saying this is a very atmospheric, non-tactical, sort of non-strategy RPG, which made me more interested in it. Mm-hmm. And then someone pointed me towards, I guess, kind of an OSR adjacent alpha of a game called Mothership. It's weird, I don't really know what OSR is, because this is OSR, but not built from D&D.
Okay.
It's completely different. Mm-hmm. Kind of has a do-it-yourself, you know, zine feel. And the four classes you can kind of play are Teamsters, Scientists, Marines, and Androids.
Oh, nice.
So you kind of got the four alien thing. You got like Ripley, you know, Hicks, Ash, and I guess Paul Reiser, the scientist, kind of, I guess, maybe. I don't know. But it's survival horror, and I'm still digging through the rules, but it looks like the horror is going to come from different type of stress tracks. Mm. And when you deplete that stress track, I think you lose control of your actions.
Oh,
because one of the things they pointed out in the Marine section is they're great at dealing with stuff until they lose all their stress and get stressed out and then empty a pulse rifle into the thing, you know, and they're like, okay, so that seems to be where the horror is going to come from. Mm. You know, you're in control until that stress track goes down, and then maybe that's when stuff hits the fan. So I'm interested to see how that would play out.
Yeah, and with the Year Zero engine, you're taking damage to stats.
Okay.
So it may work in that similar way where, you know, mentally you start to get weakened, or physically you start to get weakened, so you can't resist things, or you can't deduce well to solve any problem. So yeah, hopefully
they start panicking. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that should be good. I'm curious to see.
Death Spiral mechanics I could see working well in that survival horror game where the horror kind of would, I mean, the players are never going to feel afraid, right? Mm-hmm. But your character getting less and less competent mechanically is a way to, not replicate that, but emulate that, or at least make it feel important in the game.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. So I guess that leads to what probably will be a future topic for the podcast, is playing horror in role-playing, and what is the challenge to that? You know, does it work if people have expectations? And, you know, if you say vampire setting or you say zombies, people already have, you know, from film and books, they bring a lot of expectations there. And just like they do with fantasy, when you say Dungeons and Dragons, Elves and Dwarves. So what are the challenges to actually running that campaign, making it work as horror and getting everybody to kind of equally participate and enjoy the horror aspect of it?
Well, I think that, one thing is, that's why pitching the game. Great, we're going to play a horror game. So people can opt out if they don't want to. So hopefully everyone who's left at the table wants to play a horror game.
Yeah, right? Or you just get that, oh my God, reaction to everything that happens. I didn't know this was what was.
Oh, you might. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that would be great. Because like in the original, they said in the chestburst scene in the original Alien that the actors weren't all kind of clued into what was going to happen and just let them naturally react to being sprayed with blood out of John Hurt's chest.
Which I'm, again, kind of torn about now.
Yes.
Where, sure, you got an authentic reaction. Mm-hmm. The actors are supposed to be able to act. And did you really need to do that? That, again, like consent and all kind of thing. Like, I don't think they signed up for that. So,
yeah, and I think 70s Hollywood, I think it was a lot
I'm
more.
Sure.
Let's just do whatever we want to get the performance we want. Like, you know, Shelley Duvall in The Shining.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that took a toll on her psychologically.
Maybe don't do that anymore.
I guess that brings us to Kickstarter, because the reason that we're doing this stream for Grimmer Space and the interview is because it's on Kickstarter right now.
Right.
It's going to be a series of books. There'll be a settings book and an alien archive. So I think they're going to add more types of aliens to the setting.
Okay, cool.
But it is Starfinder. So it's the Starfinder classes, abilities, everything that you expect from Starfinder. The races are all the same.
I'm not that big a Pathfinder or Starfinder mechanics fan.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of brought it up where the characters seem pretty competent, or mm-hmm. that seems to be the point. So I'm wondering how that's going to go.
Yeah, I'm curious too, because, and especially as they are including the Vesk in there, and the Vesk are a big lizard man alien race, and are they really disturbed if they just like eat flesh you know, if they are like Komodo dragons and they eat rotten flesh, are zombies really going to bother them, or they're going to look delicious?
Yeah, that's one way to come in. Like, okay, zombie survival horror, I'll just play Vesk, okay. Problem
delicious.
Solved, yeah. Ugh, that's gross.
Yeah, so there's a lot of challenge in there. But the description for Grimmer Space, I think, was interesting. They said, gritty terrorscapes, alien atrocities, and tough moral choices where the stakes are always high and the price of heroism steep. They might challenge that idea of being heroic.
Oh, they might.
Yeah, so I'm curious. And I'm curious within the Starfinder system how to do that, because I don't think they're adding any additional mechanics. It is setting.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
So it's going to kind of be up to the characters to add the morality and the kind of reaction to the setting itself to kind of give it the appropriate atmosphere.
Yeah, as a setting, as a system matters person, not changing the mechanics. I'd really like to see how they get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we will find out. Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
So I recently backed Hardwired Island,
mm-hmm.
which is a cyberpunk game inspired by 90s anime. I'm not really that keen on the anime thing. One of the things that led me to back it is I'm familiar with the creators just through Twitter and had seen previews of it without actually knowing what it was. Mm-hmm. They just kind of shared them with people. And I'm interested because it's cyberpunk that focuses more on the punk, which is something I feel has kind of been not focused on for a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
So it's clearly or decidedly anti-capitalistic. Cyberware has no morality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't lose a humanity side or whatever when you put parts of whatever in your body. It's intentionally looking at the sort of intersection between cybernetics and communities.
Mm.
So it's lots of different voices. And you're not just, you don't become a cyborg when you put a piece of cybernetics in your body. You're still whatever you were,
whatever
community you came from, and now you just have an additional access to your character to deal with.
Nice.
So I'm interested in seeing where that goes, and backed it almost sight unseen just because I said I am pretty sure these people are going to do a decent job with it.
Nice.
As opposed to Cyberpunk Red by R. Talsorian Games, which I didn't know were still around.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny because I use their old Bubblegum Crisis Fusion books as reference material for the Cortex Prime Bubblegum Crisis characters. I set it up.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, they're still around.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually never played Cyberpunk 2020. Didn't really know that they were putting out a Cyberpunk Red until they tweeted the first image of their book, and I didn't like it, to put it mildly, where, I don't know, you will put the image up.
Yes.
But I immediately saw SWAT cop forcing what looks to me like a woman of color to her knees, barrel of the gun to her head, with an expression on her face clearly showing she's not in control of the situation.
Yeah.
Where a guy in the front that to me codes as white is kind of nonchalantly putting his hands behind his head while another cop is aiming a gun at him. So he's also in danger too. But the smirk on his face says to me, he is still in control of the situation and also clearly has a weapon in his waistband where the woman did not. Where that, I looked at that and I said, okay, maybe you were going for current social commentary, but with no other context to that image, that image to me was problematic because we see it every day on TV anyway.
Mm.
And we've kind of discussed before, are these games escapism or not? Are you going to want to play a game where the first image they showed is a person of color being forced to the ground at gunpoint, where people have to deal with that in reality every day?
Mm.
And for me, the answer is no.
And especially for a cyberpunk setting, the first thing I think about is that cyberpunk is one of those settings that is kind of beyond race. You know, if you're talking about an urban dystopic setting in the future, there's not a lot of racial distinction. You know, people are their origins are very blended and mixed, and that's the kind of the touch of the future that feels interesting in cyberpunk.
That's certainly one way to go.
Yeah.
The other way to go is to kind of make it about race and then get all people of that group to actually write about it, you know, the different voices kind of thing.
Yeah, I briefly saw that image, and the thing that I was surprised by is the female character looks like a child. Like, she's very tiny in size, and I don't know if it's just the artist not being able to draw somebody on their knees very well, but maybe. She is very small and kind of a, you know, little bit bigger head and thinner, so looked red as a child to me.
Interesting.
So that was even a little bit more odd. But it is odd to code things racially, and especially if you're going to, wouldn't these cops be kind of faceless? And yeah, I don't know.
They were. Like, I mean, they had like the visors, and the only thing you could see would come with was their mouth. And I've gotten into a discussion with someone where it's like, okay, you know what you could have done to avoid that is swap essentially the ethnicities of the people.
Right. Because, and especially cyberpunk, it's like, yeah, you would, whatever you had to do to survive. So it's things aren't going to be divided in the same. There aren't the types of ghettos or the types of, you know, exclusion that there were. People will have access to be corporate stooges, you know. Yeah, so very interesting. But that is, so they are doing, is it, so that's the 2020 developers?
Yeah. Cyberpunk Red is tabletop RPG as opposed to what, Cyberpunk 2077, which is a video game, I
think. Right.
Okay. Which already got slammed for being transphobic. So,
Well, good luck depicting that dystopia.
Yeah, really. That is pretty much it for me right now until the next cool thing rolls around. And beginning this year, I said, that's it. No more Kickstarters for me. And I am already deeper in the hole than I want to go and calculate just for this year.
Nice. Yeah, that was a good thing. And I think we brought that up in a previous week. The thing that I really made me want to pre-order the Free League Alien RPG is they didn't go to Kickstarter.
Right.
They said, this is a strong IP. We're just going to do pre-orders. We're going to do, you know, deluxe editions based on the strength of that IP and not, you know, let's see how much interest there is. Because, of course, they'll be interested. And I think they've already established themselves, especially with Year Zero, as it's a good system. Right. So whatever the setting is, yeah, it'll be at least a playable, definitely playable game.
Yeah, they've got enough games or enough Kickstarters under the belt to kind of have built that identity. And, and yeah, I do respect them for not going to Kickstarter before, because as we said, it's real easy for companies to use Kickstarter as a pre-order tool, which, okay, I understand why you're doing it, but I'm, as I've discussed before, much more inclined to back a Kickstarter for a product I am pretty sure would not have been made otherwise.
Mm-hmm. So if people want to find you, where is the best place?
Twitter, as always.
Yes.
I'm Hivemind, HYVEMYND, and I am no longer Dead-Eyed Misery Slap.
Oh.
As much as I love that, someone suggested a new name, which I thought was way funnier. So you can find me there. You can also find me on Fantastic Fate Resources. Mm-hmm. That's my Patreon. And FantasticFateResources.com is also the name of my new custom domain blog site.
Excellent. Well, good. Yeah, so have a look at that. And as always, if you want to take a look at the podcast and also our videos that we're producing for YouTube, that would be idleredhands.com. Follow us at idleredhands on Twitter. And if you want to get involved, support the podcast, and actually have some influence on the direction of things, what we take a look at, what games we play, patreon.com/idleredhands. That's it for this week, and we will see you next time, or at least talk at you next time. Goodbye.
Bye. No.
was all.